want to encourage you to invite your moms, your aunts, your cousins, your sisters, your friends. It is just an amazing opportunity just to honor the wonderful, wonderful women that are in our lives and in our community on that morning. And we are just so looking forward to having Heather Phibbs with us that morning. Today is the final part of our Easter series, Let It Change You. Just to do a recap over the series that we've been in for the last 3 weeks. The first week was Jesus is alive. The empty tomb isn't just a moment in history. It's an invitation. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is still at work today, bringing new life, restoring hearts, and changing lives from the inside out. Week two, God's Word. We heard how the Word of God changes us. We discovered how the Word teaches, trains, equips us to live with purpose and become all who God has created us to be. And as we read the Word, friends, the Word is reading us. In week three, prayer, we learned that prayer is a gift from God that allows us to move from being anxious people to a people of peace as we take our concerns and lay them at the feet of Jesus. We don't try harder, we pray differently. And when it comes to the no and in the waiting, when we're praying for things, we also learned the importance of trusting God in those areas because He knows best and when we need it. Today, we are going to be looking at a message called community. It's the community of believers. It's the church. And I want to start off by saying this to you this morning. Community can change you. It can transform your life. So I just want to be a bit vulnerable and just give you a glimpse into my life when I came through the doors into this community 16 years ago. Yes, 16 years ago. Feels like 20, 30 years ago. But it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey. I struggled with addiction, alcohol, cigarettes, pills. I took lots of pills for my anxiety and depression. Sometimes by the end of the day, I'd taken like 30. I don't even know how I've still got a stomach, to be very honest with you. I was living with my girlfriend. I was insecure, very jealous. Jealousy ruins relationships. Most of my relationships at the time were not in a good place and broken. I would say I was quite introverted too. I did not like big crowds. I did not like going anywhere where I didn't know people. I would stick to my two or three friends and please don't leave me when I'm in a crowd. I actually think sometimes that when I went to nightclubs, that's why I drank so much. It's because it took away that anxiety of just being in this big crowd. Well, I'm being honest with you. I was a guy that just gave up very easily and I just gave in. And the most, I'd say the most important thing is that when I came into this community, and it's not about Grace Life, it's about the community of believers. But when I came into this community, because this is where God brought me into, I didn't know much at all about God. You know, some things just go better when they are together. So when I think of that statement, I think about Oreos, how well they go with chocolate ice cream with just a dash of sauce on top. It's just all better together in that mixture. I don't know about you, but I love it. I think I'm going to buy that after. You probably could add tomato sauce on that, and it would still taste good. If you think about going to a movie, it's just better when you have popcorn and Coke. Sometimes you can sprinkle the Astros there when you take a mouthful of popcorn, and then you take a mouthful of Astros. We all know that. I think I need to go to movies tonight too now. If you think about bacon, If you like bacon, well, for me, bacon just goes with anything. It can be egg, tomato. I don't even eat tomato, but it just tastes good, especially that back bacon from Bluff Meat Supply. But what I'm trying to communicate this morning to you, friends, is that in community, we are better together. We learn, we grow in ways that could not be possible if we were in isolation or if we were actually outside the family of believers. We've got to understand that. So that takes me into point number one this morning. We were created for community. So I want to just throw out two statements right from the beginning here. We were created to thrive in relationships with one another. We were created to share our life with one another. So when I look at 16 years ago to where I am today, I have thrived, actually, to be very real, I have thrived in being discipled. I have thrived through leadership, not my own leadership, the leadership that I've been under. I have thrived when my leadership has challenged me into taking steps of faith. I have thrived when there's been correction and discipline. And I have thrived as I've maintained staying in community. So friends, that girl that I was living with has now become my wife. Through the relationships and through community and my relationship with Jesus, I have crushed those addictions. As you can clearly see, I do not have a problem anymore speaking on a microphone. I was always very quick to put up my hand in school to get a big zero because I'd rather not stand in front and do an oral because that is just very embarrassing. I just found it embarrassing. I was like, hey, you know what? They knew. Ryan Cullen, sitting in the back, you're getting a zero because there's no way I'm getting up to talk publicly. But that is what happens. So when we talk about community changes you and it transforms you, when you are part of a community and you're drawing men close to you that you can walk this life out, if you think about me on stage today and I think about leadership and eldership, that kind of stuff wasn't even on my radar when I walked through the church. To be very honest with you, I was so green, I didn't even know what an elder was. I'm going to be very honest with you. But the one thing that I clearly felt the Lord speak to me about is being discipled and mentoring with guys that are in front of me. And through that, through being in community and outworking this wonderful calling with the men around me that are helping refine who I am today, the giftings that God had in me are now being displayed from preaching and leading and being on an elder. I know what an elder is now. Thank you, Jesus. Just hours before Jesus is going to be arrested and ultimately he goes to the cross, Jesus is in a garden praying for the believers. You know, it's quite a meaty conversation and prayer that he's having with his Father in heaven. He knows what's about to take place and he goes to his Father in prayer. And he's praying out to God and he's saying, just as I am one in you, my disciples have been one in me. Just as I, Lord, have protected them here on earth through your name, when I go to be with you, Lord Jesus, protect them by your name. So he's praying this meaty prayer up to the Father about his disciples. And I want to pick it up in John 17, verse 21, where he shifts his prayer from the disciples to the believers, the family of believers. So this is what he says in John 17, 20 and 21. He says, my prayer is not for them alone, the disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So just as the disciples carried a message all those years ago, that through their message, people would come to know Jesus. There's a message through the Holy Spirit in you that Jesus is praying to you this morning to keep that message safe and secure so that through your message, through community, we can see others come into the kingdom of God to get to know Jesus. So he says that all that may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. All the things that Jesus could be praying into in this moment, he's about to be arrested. He knows, Jesus knows where he's going. Of all the things, he could be praying for protection over himself. He could be praying and asking God to deliver him from the evil one and defeat the evil one before he even has to go to the cross. He could be praying for strength, zeal, tenacity to deal with this. That is not what he prays for. He prays that the believers would be one. He prays for unity. He prays for community, friends. He prays that through the community, through the message, the revelation of Jesus, that people would come to know him, be found in him, and know where he comes from the Father God in heaven. Jesus knew that you and I, like the disciples and the believers of that time, would face many different trials and challenges in their life. He knew this too, that we would need Jesus, we would need him, but we would need each other to outwork this life, to point us and keep us focused on the King of Kings. So point number two is, in community, we carry one another's burdens. So Galatians 6 verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. One reason that we are better together in community, friends, is that there is power when you and I are able to say, me too. Amen. There may be something that you are dealing with right now that you're going through and finding it very difficult. There is people in our lives that God will put in our life that we have experienced the very things that you're going through. And when we are comfortable and open and we go to them and we say, I'm dealing with this, they're able to say, me too. And they're able to help us and guide us through how they've trusted God, how they have dealt with what they have dealt with through the things that you're dealing with. And we can draw strength and faith and peace off of them where they journey with us to see what? To see the freedom and breakthrough in our lives. So we are going to spend the next few minutes doing an illustration. And I'm going to ask you to please participate with me, to be confident, to be brave, to take a stand. You will hear very shortly, literally to take a stand. But what I've done is I'm going to ask three questions, or I'm going to invite you to stand around three areas. These three areas are things that I'm also having to deal with, so I'm already standing with you. So I'm going to encourage you and ask you that when I ask you, invite you to stand in these areas, and if this applies to you, to please stand with me. I would like to invite you to stand if you have ever had a bill, an account, that you just did not know how you were going to pay. In my lifetime, I've had quite a few of those. So if that is you, please would you stand with me. Now what I'm going to ask you to do is look to your left or your right, someone that is standing with you, and in a loud voice, say to them, me too. Wonderful, thank you. If you wouldn't mind taking a seat. I would like to invite you to stand with me if you've had a loved one that has passed away. Wonderful. One more time. If you would look around to someone that's standing with you and tell them, me too. If you wouldn't mind sitting, thank you very much. And the very last one. if you wouldn't mind standing with me, if you know someone, maybe it's yourself, or someone who has been affected by cancer. And one last time, if you wouldn't mind taking a look around to someone that is standing with you and say to them in a loud voice, "Me too." Thank you so much. You may take your seats. Thank you for participating with us this morning. We lose hope. I'm going to say that again. We lose hope when we feel alone, when we feel like no one can relate to what you are going through. That is why, friends, Jesus prayed for you and I. That's why he prayed for unity, that we would come together in this wonderful understanding that in our togetherness we are better, but in our togetherness we are able to help build each other up, encourage each other. But the most important thing above it all is that we get to point each other to Jesus and not be distracted by the world and the stuff that we are dealing with. And my very last point this morning is community is birthed out of intentionality. So I'm going to spend some time this morning in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to jump straight into it. It's from verse 42 all the way down to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. I'm going to repeat that. Glad and sincere hearts to who Jesus was. Not to what was happening in the natural. No, there was a glad and sincere heart in their togetherness to who Jesus was. Praising God and enjoying all the favor of the people. And listen to this, wonderful. And the Lord added to their number daily who were being saved. So friends, clearly in the early church that we've read in Acts, there was a clear, deep revelation of the importance of being together and being one and being unified. Clearly, we can see that. The unity of the church was demonstrating to others. So what was happening in this church was a demonstration to others, okay, that God was at work. And we see the evidence of this in verse 47 when it mentions that they were growing and enjoying the favor of all the people and that God was adding to their numbers daily those who were being saved. So there was a clear intention and purpose, okay, that through this intention and through this purpose of being together, okay, that they saw the favor and the power of God. So clearly, friends, we can't deny that the early church in Acts was encountering God, okay? There was a clear encounter. But from what you read here, there had to be, the believers were making disciples. And that there was this continuous flow of encountering, making disciples, encountering God, making disciples. And you can clearly see it because the lives were being transformed, okay? There was unity and maturity. The maturity was in they devoted themselves to the apostle teaching. Everyone had everything in common. Every single day, a transformed mind and the understanding and revelation of Jesus wouldn't do that. We've got to understand that. So there was clearly this understanding of something when it came to the kingdom and Jesus, the way they were actually operating in their midst. And then from that, a life transformed, maturity. All of us want to grow up in maturity here, and free from what we are experiencing in life. People are being saved. You know, this reminded me last night when I was looking at Acts, it reminded me of that 8-week series we did called Discipleship. And we looked at the four chairs of discipling. So there was a clear model of the four chairs of discipleship from, it said there that they were growing in favor. So the lost were coming and seeing, liking what they seen, that early church was winning them for Jesus. They were coming as a new believer, new in the faith, to be built up and equipped in the faith. We see the workers, clearly if they were meeting every day, there would have been something that was taking place. Okay, chair three, the worker, working in the kingdom to be equipped for acts of service, ministry. And then the disciple maker, who was making disciples, and you can clearly see this model because they kept on saying that they were being added daily through chair one to chair two, the new believer, the worker, the disciple maker. So you can clearly see that there was an encountering God, making disciples, and that through the early church, that this church had cultivated this idea of helping people move into greater degrees of maturity. See, the closer we get to Jesus and the more mature we get, the things that we are struggling with now, we get a handle on it and we can move forward. And then if something else comes and we get a handle on it. But our focus is on fixing our eyes on Jesus in the kingdom, laying our lives down for the kingdom and trusting Him. Like Lot, we pray into those areas and we get on the business of Jesus. So here's the big question. How can we be intentional like the early church in Acts, the intention of seeing maturity, people saved, and unity? Because they were very intentional in this. And it started with them. And as they got this right or outworked it, because I don't think we ever get it right, we're constantly outworking this, God added into them. So how can we now start to see this outwork in our own lives, but also moving along the four chairs? It's a good question to ask yourself and identify, which chair are you on? And how can you go to the next chair and the next chair? So here are six areas where we can be intentional to see this model of the early church of Acts outwork in our midst. Are you ready for it? It's going to be everything you've heard before, but hopefully it's going to be a fresh revelation where you're going to be intentional with these things. So the first one, life groups. You want to be intentional with life groups. They're not called home groups, life group. It's doing life together. We can be intentional by sharing our faith and our story with others to help encourage and build up their faith. We can sit in a life group setting and hear someone's story that helps build up our faith. It's a great way to get to know people in the life of the church as we intentional with making a Tuesday night or a Wednesday morning or a Wednesday night. It's because it's part of the community of God and how God helps us find out who the next person is. One of my biggest decisions that I ever made was on my 30th birthday at Life Group. I could have been anywhere. I went to Life Group. And from that night, I asked Jess to marry me. And you want to know what? She didn't just say yes, by the way. But it was because of the way things were. She took a step of faith. I took a step of faith. The couple that has been discipling us for over 15 years, we trusted in what they were talking about. And look where we're at here today. We're still working. But where we were 10 years ago is a complete different relationship today. 20 years ago, or 15 years ago. Growth track. If you have not yet jumped onto our growth track, I want to encourage you to be intentional to get onto growth track, but not just get onto it. Invite a friend to come with you. The growth track is a pathway into the life of the church where you find out and learn and hear about the leadership and the history of the church. But it's also designed to help you find out what personality do you have, what gifting do you have, and how you can use your giftings in the local church. The dream team, our serve teams. Did you know that you are created to serve God? And I'm just going to throw this in there, that as a believer, if we are not actively serving in our local churches, I'm pretty confident to say that we're not doing it out there. So if we are not under the headship of Christ, who actually has brought us into the spacious place of being right with God, and then we're under him and we've been obedient to his model and we've been obedient to the leaders and who God is creating us to be, we are serving and adding momentum with our giftings and our personality in the community as we outwalk this wonderful life together. Jess mentioned prayer meeting. I think it was mentioned. This Tuesday, we have a half an hour prayer meeting. Most and every Sunday, we have 400 people that come through the doors into this community. At a prayer meeting, there's 90 to 100. As a community, we want to fill out this hall to come together, not because, oh, look at the prayer meeting. No, we're coming together as the body of Christ, brothers and sisters, the community, together, like-minded, praying for the very things that we want to see change in our country, change in ourselves, change in the Bluff, Durban, South Africa. But we come together as a community, all 400 of us. Heaven would be shaking at the cry, not out of desperation, but out of faith, of a community that's hungry to see heaven break out on earth. And I'm coming to an end. For me, this is the most important area that we need, and that's discipleship. Who are the men and women encouraging you? Building you up? Oh, those are the nice ones. Who are the men and women who are challenging you, bringing discipline, encouraging you to take steps of faith that make you feel very, very nervous? Who are those men and women that are in your life? I'm going to leave you with this statement. We need men and women in our lives that are more concerned about the call of God over your life than they are about being in your good grace. Because when people are speaking the word of truth into you, what does it say in Hebrews? It's sharper than a double-edged sword. So sometimes when our mentors and our coaches and those that are discipling us are going to speak the truth and it's going to cut deep and it's not going to feel nice, but you know that they love you and they care about you and they can see your calling, and to them, your calling and my calling is so much more important than if I am happy with you today because of where Jesus wants to take us. And then the final one, fellowship. We need to be intentional, friends, with our coffees and our dinners and when we meet with our church friends, not to be intentional to talk about how the sound, how it sounds in here, or the lights, or what the leadership is doing and not doing. I can tell you right now, that is not going to help you or the one hearing become who God has created you to be. When we get together over coffees and dinners, we want to be encouraging each other to find the giftings and who God has called us to be. Let's spend more time speaking about those things rather than all the other things that are actually insignificant to what God wants to do. They're very important on a Sunday morning, but they're insignificant to the grander picture of lives finding their creative value in Jesus, and God uses you and I to do that. We can be intentional with our time, our talents, our treasures. Why don't we stand just as I wrap up this morning? Friends, we were created for community. In community, we carry each other's burdens. Community is birthed out of intentionality. And to wrap up Easter, the Easter series, let it change you. Let Jesus change you. Let the Word of God change you. Let prayer change you. And today, and I pray and trust that you've had a revelation of community. Let being a part of a community change you. We are better together. Amen.
Can you just put those six things back up there? please, Natasha. I mean, you have to. Can you go backwards? See, I don't have to bounce through everybody, through the whole thing. Just push them all up so we have all six of them up there. Just push them all up so we have all six of them up there. No. Just, you got to bounce through the whole lot. All right, yeah, look at that. Coffees and dinners. All right, dinners. A fellowship. Okay, that's coffees. What about tea if I don't drink coffee? Waters. So just quickly, when you are learning something, you want to grow in that thing. You're studying at a degree, you're doing something to learn, whatever it is. You will do things to grow in that thing, won't you, to learn. So really the motivation behind these things, it's not about Grace Life or joining the serving team and joining us so you can come and serve in our thing, so you can serve what we're doing. Your name could be Joe Bloggs. We could be Fellowship Church International, and this could be Simon preaching. You could be another country, another city in South Africa. The thing stays the same. In 1 John 3:16, I know I mentioned it earlier, says this is what we know what love is, that Jesus gave his life for us. The us is about the body of believers. John is writing to the church. Then he says, so we ought. That word ought to means that we should now, because of that, this is what we should do, lay our lives. And that word lay or lay down is to think about action, to strategize what we're going to do, lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. The brothers and sisters, the context, the Greek word there is the body of Christ. So God wants us, Jesus wants us, like he laid his life down for us on the cross, he calls us to lay our life down for the church. That's profound. Not for something that we think is good out there, for the bride of Christ. Amen. Not to do good things that the bride of Christ do for other people, for the bride of Christ. That's what that says. So all these things just teach us how to love. Because if I don't love, I can't lay my life down like Jesus did. Because this is what we know what love is, that he laid his life down for us so that through love, we can lay our life down for the body of Christ. Because only the body of Christ, my friends, can bring the gospel to the world. But we need a strong church that loves each other deeply. Amen? So that we can do the things he calls us to do as we see the world getting darker and darker. No matter what country you go live in or where place you go, darkness will cover the face of the earth. But the brightness of the dawn of the church will get brighter and brighter. So all these things, the mentoring, the coffees, the prayer meetings, the dream team, the growth track, the life groups are just tools in Grace Life, because it could be another church, to help you grow in the things God's called you to grow in so you can love his people better. That's the bottom line. Amen. Amen. So Ryan, why don't you pray for us, my friend? It was a wonderful message, man. Wonderful end to this. Let it change you. Lord, how does this change me? These things are designed to help change you, to make you become more like Jesus, which is what? To love. Yes. Amen. Amen. Why don't you pray for us that we can respond to you somehow and ask God to do some great things.
So I want to encourage you this morning as we just spend a moment praying. Over the last 4 weeks, if you have clearly felt the Holy Spirit, God himself, speaking to you into areas of your life that is highlighted that you need to make an adjustment in to see this, let it change you. If those areas are clear to you over the last 4 weeks, I'm going to ask you to be brave by faith, to respond to that by putting up your hand, and I would just like to take a minute just praying into you. So, Father, you see the hands that are going up here this morning, Father. Lord, you have highlighted things to people here this morning over the last 4 weeks, Father God, that they can go away and they can learn how to change it by having trust in you, Father. So, Father, we just ask you to give them grace, peace, strength in these areas. Give them the wisdom and the revelation to go away, Father. It highlights, Father God, men and women in this community that they are able to come and say, can you help me walk through this so I can see the change that God wants to see in me? So, Father, we pray for this in your mighty, mighty name. And one last time we say, Lord, thank you for the brave people that have lifted their hands up saying, Lord, I'm here to change, to be used for you in your kingdom. And in your mighty name, we said, amen.